Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Digital Equipment Corporation conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to Ms. Nikki Richardson. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Good afternoon, everyone. As you know, at 4:30, we put out a release announcing Jack Smith's intention to retire. Jack has been kind enough to make himself available on this teleconference to answer any questions that you might have. We'd like to apologize for the lateness in making this release, but because it's considered material information by the SEC, we wanted to give you the information as soon as we had it. Now Jack will be available for any questions you might have.
Just an opening comment. I want to thank you for joining me here this evening. I do want to caution us all that we are in the quiet period here, and we will be announcing our second quarter results on January 14th. So obviously we're in a quiet period, and let's try to take that into consideration. I'll be glad to answer any questions that you may have.
Operator, would you begin polling, please?
Yes, just one moment, please.
John Wilkie, please state your company, followed by your question.
This is John Wilkie with the Wall Street Journal. Jack, good afternoon. You recently handled a couple of high-level but temporary assignments for Bob Palmer. Did you talk with him about a more permanent role in Digital's future?
Hi, John. Relative to the positions that I held those positions, as you're well aware, in addition to the position that I held as Senior Vice President of Operations.
Right.
Bob and I have been in communications constantly since his election as President relative to where the structure of the corporation was going to go and what that direction was, and I certainly supported every aspect of that.
But Jack, did you talk about a future role for yourself in the executive structure of the company?
That was always in part of the communications.
And those talks didn't yield. You chose to resign and to retire instead.
Well, obviously, you know, I'm announcing my intent to retire at this point in time. So I felt it was the right time for me. You know, I'm going on 58. Years of age. I've always been a proponent of two or more careers for people in their lifespan, and I thought at this point in time it was the right time to go about doing that.
But did you seek another position from Mr. Palmer?
Another position other than the one I held, John?
Yeah, a continuing position, yes, sir.
A continuing position?
Is your departure of your own volition today?
Yes, yes, it is. Without a doubt.
Thank you.
Hello?
Mike Knell, please state your company, followed by your question.
This is Michael Knell at the Boston Herald. I wondered whether you see the role that you're leaving as being a role that's integral to the company, that is, whether you feel that it's absolutely essential that Bob Palmer replace you, what kind of advice, and if that's the case, given the restructure of the company in the recent weeks, what kind of advice would you give him in terms of the kind of person you'd choose for that role, whether it would be an outsider from outside the company, whether you think an insider should do the job?
Well, it's, as was announced several weeks ago, and there will be more announcements in the immediate future, the company, we have actually restructured the company and established focused, customer-focused business units, and these business units will report directly to Bob Palmer. As to the people that should be qualified for those positions, I don't think it's an internal versus an external situation. What you want to do is get the best available people in the industry, and if those best available people you find internally, then those are the people that will fit into this structure. If the best available people you will find externally, then those are the people that should be in this kind of structure. If you'll notice that the announcement that's been made to date. There will be a mixture, and I expect going forward there will be a mixture of internal as external, as well as external focus. But the focus is on the best available folks.
Well, the implication of your answer was that the job that you've been doing, the position that you hold, is essentially not to exist anymore, that you have a... Is that correct?
It will not be a senior vice president of operations. Hello?
Okay, was that a factor in your decision to leave the company?
No, it was not. As I mentioned to John at the outset, this is a structure that the company has been focused in on for some period of time, even prior to the election of Bob Palmer, is something that many of us feel very good about, particularly the customer-focused aspects of it and the aspects of being able to look at the company in segments from a standpoint of business units is a structure that we all feel very, very comfortable with and have supported for some period in time, and certainly supported with Bob Palmer's election to president.
No, I guess what I meant was whether, regardless of your support for the changes in the structure, whether you yourself didn't feel comfortable in a role as a head of a business unit in the restructured company.
Oh, I don't think it's a matter of feeling comfortable or not comfortable. I think my decision is strictly based on my desire to retire at this point in time from Digital Equipment Corporation. It's been 35 years, and for those of you out there that know me, you know I would not walk away from a situation unless I felt very, very comfortable relative to how the company was positioned for the future. And I feel very, very comfortable about how we're positioned going forward. I'll repeat that once more. For you folks that know me, you know I would not walk away unless that was my orientation, and I have a great deal of confidence at this point in time that we're positioned very, very well going forward.
Thank you.
Operator, could we have the next question, please?
Joshua Hyatt, please state your company followed by your question.
Hi, this is Josh Hyatt from the Boston Globe. Mr. Smith, I wanted to ask you, given that you said you're a proponent of having two careers, what would your second career be?
Well, that's interesting. I have a lot of things I'm thinking of doing. Obviously, I have no intention of going into a competitive situation with Digital Equipment Corporation. Once again, for you folks that know me, you know I would not do that. And on the other hand, the Marines are looking for a few good men.
Yeah. Operator, may we have the next question, please?
Yes, thank you. Jonathan Yenkin, please state your company, followed by your question.
Yeah, hi. With the Associated Press, pardon me because I came in on the middle of this, and if this question has already been asked, but I'm just wondering if, and I guess it's an obvious question, so it might have been asked, if you had been hoping to succeed Ken Olson, and if the departure of him and the elevation of Bob Palmer, what influence that had on your decision to leave the company?
The elevation of Bob Palmer had nothing to do with my leaving the company. It was time for a change. We made a change. Bob was elected president. Bob is a person that I've been working with over the years, for 7 years here at DEC. I knew Bob as a supplier prior to coming to DEC. I had the greatest deal of respect for Bob. We think an awful lot alike. I mentioned the support for the structure that Bob is now putting in place. So his election as president had nothing to do with my decision to consider retirement. In fact, I was considering retirement prior to Bob's election. As I mentioned previously, I did not feel the timing was right, simply because I thought there was work to be done. Now I feel the work has been done. I would not leave unless I felt comfortable that the company was positioned well going forward, and therefore, no. Relative to would I have stayed if I was elected president and had Ken's job, I don't speculate on things that haven't happened.
May we have the next question, please, operator?
Yes, thank you. Gary McWilliams, please state your company, followed by your question.
Jack, hi, this is Gary McWilliams with Business Week. I hope you're not going back to racing motorcycles. That's the only thing. You mentioned earlier about the outsiders and the issue of bringing in the best person for the job, regardless of whether internal or external candidates. One of the things that I've heard mentioned inside Digital is that there haven't been a lot of outsiders brought into the company. In fact, only one of the jobs apparently named a couple of weeks ago will go to an outsider. Is that a concern, getting new blood to the company?
Stay tuned. That may change soon.
Okay. Will that be related to your leaving?
No, not whatsoever. I believe that we were committed during this transition to find the best qualified people for those positions, and those are the people that will be put into those positions. And I think there will be some announcements coming fairly quickly in the next couple of weeks that will address the issue that you just brought up.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question, please.
If you have any additional question, you will need to press the 1 followed by the 4 on your push-button phone. If your question has been answered and you wish to decline from the polling process, you may do so by pressing the 1 followed by the 3 on your push-button phone. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before doing this. Joseph Payne, please state your company and go ahead with your question.
Alex Brown and Sons. Jack, as the first Wall Street representative in this so far press conference, let me congratulate you on a successful career at Digital and wish you the best of luck in your retirement.
I appreciate that.
Have we lost him?
Joe, did we lose you?
Joe? I think we lost the whole thing.
Operator?
Hello?
He's still connected.
Oh, okay. Thank you. That was Joe?
We seem to have lost Joe Payne.
All right. David Wu?
Oh, wherever you are, thank you. Anybody knows where Joe is, thank Joe for it.
I will check his line. David Wu, please state your company name and go ahead with your question.
Yes, this is David Wu from SG Warburg. Happy New Year and all the best in your new endeavor.
David. Do you remember the comment you made to me when I appeared on your stage a short few months ago?
Uh-huh.
The comment you made was, this is a bad omen, whoever the last three people that appeared on this stage at this point in time is no longer with Digital Equipment Corporation. I'll remind you of that, David.
Yeah, all right. I was thinking about your comment about that you didn't feel good that the timing before Bob Palmer got on board, and now with a number of reorganizations, you feel that the ship is right. I assume that you're not talking about, you know, financial numbers or that kind of stuff. You're talking about organization structure. Or can you elaborate what you feel
David,
different from, let's say, 9 months ago?
Well, obviously, we're in the quiet period, so there's no way
So we shouldn't be talking about numbers. That's why I started off by saying that I assume we're not talking about numbers. But
let me reiterate what I said at your conference and also what was stated publicly in my last two teleconferences at the end of Q4 and Q1.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned at that point in time that that we had a game plan in place that we had a great deal of confidence in that would be implemented, and that that game plan would be carried into Q1 and Q2. I mentioned at that point in time, and I believe Bob reiterated this, that we expect to make significant progress from quarter to quarter, and I have no reason to change that position at this point in time. I also mentioned that population numbers. I'm not going to mention numbers, but the numbers that I mentioned at your conference and the numbers that I mentioned in public and then that was published from the standpoint of downsizing, I have a great deal of confidence that when the results are announced, you will see that that game plan was not only implemented, it succeeded quite well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But from a company organization standpoint, this business unit orientation, and you mentioned customer orientation, that, you know, the structure behind the actions, that's what you feel comfortable now at this stage of the game?
Well, David, and I think we've had this conversation in the past, I believe one of the strongest organization structures we ever had in the company was back in the days of the product lines. It was our fastest growth area and very profitable growth area. If you read history on that, product line was a misnomer. What we had was business units that were really focused in on customers and the needs of customers by industry. So the product line label was a misnomer. But I was always a very, very strong supporter of that kind of organization, simply because I saw what it could do for a company from the standpoint of the customer and the growth of our revenue base. The current structure that we're putting in place very much reflects that structure, and I believe it is a structure that will carry us certainly for the next 5 or 6 years, and it's the right direction for the company.
Thank you. All the very best.
Thank you, David.
Joseph Payne, please go ahead with your follow-up question.
Yeah, hi, Jack, I'm back. Jack, in 35 years, we've seen the transformation of the computer business from very discrete manufacturing to virtually computers on chips. What do you see the implications are in the next 5 to 10 years of computers on a chip with regard to plant size, capital spending investments, and what kind of ratios would you suggest that we analysts look at in the future relative to plant, property, and equipment to performance in the future? And will downsizing continue and be a way of life for the foreseeable future of the computer industry because of the...
Well, I think from the standpoint of downsizing, to be perfectly candid, I think the industry in general got caught with their pants down and really didn't understand the full implications of what was happening in the transition you're talking about, which is more and more the discrete manufacturing going on to the chip. I think there'll be obviously more of that. I don't believe it will be as severe going forward, simply because I do believe we in the industry just found ourselves a little bit ahead of the curve. In fact, a lot ahead of the curve from the standpoint of putting resources and capacity in place. And that's what we're trying to deal with today. And the effects are enormous. We hit a high of 138,000 people. As I announced in our last teleconferencing conference, I thought we'd be close to 100,000 people at this point in time, and I believe that's where we're going to be. And I also mentioned that I thought we were going to have to be a company of 85,000 to 90,000 people. So we've done a lot, 137,000 down to most likely somewhere around 100, with another 10 or 15 to go, and then I think we will have corrected the errors of the past, if you will. Now, going forward from that standpoint, obviously the movement from discrete manufacturing down into a chip level will continue, but you will not be dealing with the backlog of problems you have, and I believe the way you deal with that problems will be much, much different than the way that we're being unfortunately forced to deal with them today.
Thanks again, and best wishes.
Thank you.
Jay Misra, please state your company name and go ahead with your question.
Capital Research, Jay Misra. Jack, congratulations on a great career. I'd like to ask you, if I can, three questions. The first one, hearing your comments about being satisfied with the progress that's being made, I'm wondering, you know, is part of that satisfaction the result of taking the multiple hardware platforms and multiple software platforms that you have right now and coming up with a more core set of products and strategies that you can capitalize on in the future?
Absolutely. That was very, very key. And I mentioned in the past when people get sort of a little bit impatient with the progress that we were that we were generating relative to downsizing. I mentioned that we were not dealing with simply closing, going from making 8 million cars to 4 million cars, and therefore you just shut down factories. What was necessary for us was to re-engineer the work that was going on to cope with the phenomena that was just mentioned, which is the work moving to chip, and also getting more focused on what we felt was our key competencies in our key product sets. So focusing on the key product sets and eliminating a lot of the redundancy that had built up over years was a very, very, very key transition for us to have undertaken. And I must say at this point in time, although we have more work to do, it is going well and certainly contributed to our ability to downsize.
Okay. Do you see an end date that in the future or next calendar year or some sort of metric to indicate when you think you'll have a cohesive R&D strategy that can be presented to the outside that will be lasting for the first half of this decade?
Well, if I honestly forget now how many months ago, but how many months ago Bill Strucker was named Vice President of Engineering, I believe, 2 months ago, two or three months ago, somewhere in that neighborhood, and Bill has been working night and day and diligently with the technical community to bring that strategy together. I, of course, have been involved in that, and I'm very, very pleased with where Bill is relative to his positioning and some of the moves that he has made. And quite obviously points out that the strategy is starting to come together, and you'll be hearing more of that in the immediate future directly from Bill himself. But I'm pleased with the progress being made in that area, and you'll get more focus on that in the coming months.
Okay, my third and final question, which is related to the two almost distinct areas of the company, one the product side and the second one the services and systems integration side. I'm wondering if we can point to the services and systems integration side, which has been clearly a very good area for our deck for the past few years. I'm wondering, is there any financial structuring changes that you would consider to be good for the company to do in the next near-term time frame to capitalize on the profitability or the revenue growth or anything else that will benefit shareholders?
Yeah, I think that there's a couple of things on the service side that we're focused in on, and we have to remain focused in on it. As you well know, in the past, a good percentage of our profit has been generated by what we call remedial service. That's the break-fix business. That's a good news, bad news story these days. The good news being that things don't break as often as they used to. The other part of that equation is when that occurs, of course, you have to go looking for other service businesses that will make up for that potential, profit loss going forward. And we certainly have done that in the area of network management and some of the other new service areas we're getting into. And those businesses are growing very, very rapidly. And we feel they're going to allow us the opportunity to offset anything that may occur in the remedial side of the business. In fact, even grow at a faster rate than where we were at in the past. So we feel good about that. From the standpoint of systems integration, I believe the growth of systems integration is unlimited. I think we've just started to scratch the surface of how people want to use information systems and computing systems to make their businesses more productive and more competitive. What I see happening in the industry, not only in our industry with the downsizing, but downsizing in all industries, I believe is what we're witnessing is the greatest restructuring of industry since the end of World War II. And with that will come tremendous opportunity on how to help people become more productive in how they go about running their businesses. And that's what I think systems integration is all about. And being good businessmen, if someone can show you how to save a dollar in running your business, you're always willing to share a portion of that with that person. So I believe that the systems integration is has all the opportunity to growth that any for growth that any of us can imagine, and I believe it will be very, very profitable growth if we go about approaching systems integration from the standpoint of replication. What I mean by that is you don't approach systems integration from a job shop standpoint. You approach it from the standpoint of developing solutions which consists of hardware and software for customers, and then replicating those solutions across the industry.
Again, thank you, and wish you the best.
Thank you.
Al Capinelli, please state your company name and go ahead with your question.
It's WGIR in Manchester, New Hampshire. Two brief questions. First, when does the resignation take effect?
Well, at this point in time, I announced my intent to retire from the company. We are in the process of working the arrangements. I expect those arrangements to be completed by the end of the end of the month. The retirement date, I would guess, depending on those arrangements, somewhere later on in the quarter, I would guess.
And second, Mr. Smith, as you may very well know, Digital represents the largest private employer in the state of New Hampshire. There are literally thousands of people waiting to see what happens next who are working with the company right now. As an executive who is leaving, a message that you may have for the people who currently work at Digital about the future of the company.
Well, as I mentioned at the outset, I would not be leaving at this point in time unless I personally believed that what we have been implementing over the past quarters would leave the company in a position that I could leave with a great deal of confidence going forward, that what was implemented has taken and the company is well positioned for the future. From the standpoint of people that are remaining in the company that are concerned about their job, I just want to mention that I have a special feeling for these people. I've been with the company for 35 years. I hired most of these people, and it's a terrible experience to have to go through to see these people leave, but it is necessary. My advice to them at this point in time is that I mentioned I think we'll be, after all the numbers are filtered out back and forth, and once again, I announced this publicly a while back, so I'm not announcing anything new. We will be a company of about 100,000 people. We're at about this point. We have to be a company of somewhere around 90 to 85, so that's simple arithmetic. There's another 10 or 15 to go, and we are going to try to get through that as quickly as possible in the next couple of quarters, and that we have to be as concerned about the people that remain as the people that unfortunately will not find positions as we go forward.
Thank you, sir.
Chris Christensen, please state your company name and go ahead with your question.
Hello, this is Chris Christensen calling from International Data Corporation. Under the latest reorganization into business units, it seemed that Digital became a service-oriented company and the product focus was diminished somewhat. What do you think that Digital's commitment or its structure is going to be in the future? And how will it reconcile a service-oriented organization with the need to do leading edge or state-of-the-art technological development?
Well, I'm not quite sure I understand the question, because I do not separate service from the need of the development of technology. The success of our service business over the years has been based on the development of good leadership technology. For instance, our remote diagnosis system that we put in place a number of years ago was leadership in the industry and has been replicated throughout the industry. and there was a part of our service sector that strictly was the result of good technology development. In the area of systems integration, which some people may call service business or customer-focused business, technology once again has to play a major role in developing the solutions that are necessary for customers to become more competitive in their particular industry sector. So I don't see the separation of technology and services whatsoever. I see them entwined. I'm not quite sure I answered your question.
Well, what I was really curious about is that traditionally Digital has been a technology-driven company, and as a result, it has come up with some innovative technologies and has been quite leading edge in terms of developing standards. But you did answer my question in that you felt that you could reconcile services and technology development. But it just seems that Digital may be more service-oriented in the future and less product-oriented, more inclined to follow customers' desires than to lead them into new product areas.
I don't believe it's an either-or situation. I think our latest announcements around the family of products called Alpha is an indication that we will maintain leadership technologies that we feel are important as we go forward. I think it's there's been a subtle change in the industry, and sometimes the old cliches don't carry over. Sometimes when people use the word products, the mindset immediately moves to hardware products. I don't share that particular direction. I believe that the products, in at least in my description of products, it covers not only hardware products but software products. And the growth of software products as it relates to solutions into the industry sectors that we will service will grow enormously as we go forward. This past year, I believe, if my numbers are correct, we spent $1.7 billion in research and development in this company. To be perfectly candid, that's too much. On the other hand, obviously we're doing something about that, we will be spending well over a billion. We will continue to spend well over $1 billion in research and development, which is an indication that we feel very much that technology is very, very important to us going forward. But as you mentioned, this technology must become more focused by what's happening in the customer sectors or the industry sectors, and should become much more influenced by what's happening within the industry sectors themselves.
Thank you very much, and good luck to you.
Thank you.
Glenn Rifkin, please state your company name and go ahead with your question.
Glenn Rifkin, New York Times. Jack, hi, I apologize. I just got on this conference call just now. I'm guessing you've already answered these questions, but let me ask you two.
Glenn, I would have thought you'd be the first one on. I won't beat you to it.
I was up in New Hampshire looking at your cabin.
Okay.
No, I just got in. Did you say what your plans are at this point, and also did they name somebody to replace you as chief operating officer? It doesn't say anything about that in the release.
The position, senior vice president of operations, is my official title. You and others like to use chief operating officer, so we could use that.
Okay.
That position will not be replaced in this new structure.
Okay. And did you say what your plans were?
My immediate plans is to leave Friday with my wife for Florida and to do a lot of water skiing until my legs collapse underneath me.
Really? Okay.
And from that point on, I do have some thoughts, but they're not formulated to the point that, Glenn, that I think would be fair to share them with you at this point in time.
Okay. Can I ask one more?
Certainly can.
Yeah. With Digital in the situation that it's in, I mean, how do you feel about leaving in a very down spot after 34 years?
A very what?
In a very down situation. Things have not turned around. I'm sure the way you hope to see them, and is it?
Yeah, well, excuse me for interrupting you, but I commented on that earlier.
Okay.
Glenn, I think you know me as well as most of the folks out there, and you know that I would never leave a situation until I felt that the situation was at the point where I could leave with confidence that it was well positioned for the future.
Uh-huh.
That's exactly where we are today. I feel very, very confident in what has been achieved over the last number of quarters. I feel very, very comfortable about what has been achieved in this past quarter, although I cannot go into any specifics at this point in time because of the quiet period.
Uh-huh.
And I feel very, very confident that this company is well positioned for going forward. If I was not, then we would not be talking this evening.
Okay. All right, listen, good luck, Jack. Hopefully talk to you before you go.
Oh, I'm sure you will, Glenn, one way or another.
All right. Take care.
Okay, thank you.
Lisa Eckelbecker, please state your company name and go ahead with your question.
Hi, Lisa Eckelbecker from the Worcester Telegram. Will you be cutting all ties with Digital, or will you be staying on in any capacity, perhaps as a consultant?
I have no intentions in staying on as a consultant. We have not talked about that. At this point in time, I would have no intentions of doing that. Whether you could ever leave a company after 35 years, I believe the answer is absolutely no. I cannot leave this company. This company will always be with me. I'll always be with this company. I have a lot of friends in this company. I like to consider myself somewhat of a major stockholder in this company, so I'm going to have maintain a high level of interest as a retiree in this company. But no, after a 35-year career in this industry and what we have accomplished and what we have done, you never leave.
Thanks very much.
Melinda Ballou, please state your company name and go ahead with your question.
Hi, I'm Melinda Ballou from Computer World. First of all, along with everyone else, I want to wish you congratulations on your retirement, and I hope you really enjoy the water skiing and your plans after that. I have a couple of quick questions. You say that you were very confident with the restructuring that's been going on at the company, and I was wondering, I expect that there will be further announcements about how horizontal groups are going to be structured across business units and about other people who are going to be leading those business units. I was wondering if you could give us a sense of timing. Is that within the next 2 or 3 weeks? How soon will we be seeing that? Because we're eager to be in on those plans as well.
I think Bob Palmer will be announcing some new appointments. I mentioned that in the past, relatively soon. I think it'll be a matter of weeks, not certainly a matter of months.
Also, in a previous conference call, I believe it was in November, you said that you expected to see the effects of the Alpha sales later this fiscal, actually early next fiscal year, later on in this calendar year. I was wondering if what your sense of that currently is, since the product platforms have been announced and have begun shipping. Is there any kind of reassessment about the consequences for Dex financials of Alpha sales, Howard?
Unfortunately, as I mentioned that at the outset, we are in a quiet period at this point in time, so I cannot comment on that.
I meant in sort of a general kind of way, not specifics. I mean, do you sort of have the same sort of sense that you had previously, or?
Yes, I do obviously have a sense, but my answer is the same. We're in a quiet period, and I cannot answer that question.
Okay. Let's see, what else? Along with the restructuring of the business units of the company, you mentioned that you were pleased with the progress that Bill Strecker has been making in terms of cutting away at redundant product sets. And I was wondering when we'll be hearing about specific products and how that's all going to be reorganized.
That once again, Bill has been working at that now for 3 months, I believe, since he was announced as Vice President of Engineering. Most of that work has been done. You will be hearing about those, the results of those work, certainly in a matter of weeks, not a matter of months.
But we will be hearing publicly about that, because I've been told by a spokesman that only customers themselves would be directly informed and that we would never really be clearly told about what had been cut back on.
No, we're very open on our product strategies. We go to all the major, all the major conferences. We give conferences on where we're going with our product strategy. Those conferences are mostly attended by customers, but they're public sessions that we certainly welcome the public or anybody else that's interested in our company to attend. So no, it's not just focused in on customers themselves. We feel it is in our best interest to share our product strategies with customers, the general public, and potential customers.
Great. Well, congratulations again, and I wish I could be out water skiing with you. Take care. Bye-bye.
We just have 2 minutes left in the conference, so we might be able to take just one more call.
Michael Cannell, please state your company name and go ahead with your question.
Hi, it's Mike Cannell from the Boston Herald. You spoke a little bit earlier about your vision for the industry in the future, and I wonder, without talking about the immediate future for digital, whether you could project out 5 years or any further in terms of what you see the role of digital or what you see digital looking like that far ahead.
Well, first of all, I'm not sure whether I'm an aria on this point or not, but I believe that this is a double-digit growth industry. There is no doubt in my mind that this is a double-digit growth industry. I think there's some amazing new innovation coming along, and I believe, as in the past, technology will drive whole new classes of users going forward. Who would have thought 10 years ago that children in grammar school would be using computers? That's what I mean about technology driving whole new classes of users. Going forward, I believe that will continue to occur and occur at an accelerated rate. So I believe this industry is without a doubt a double-digit growth industry. Although we're running into a sluggish period at this point in time, I think that's just a moment in time. I actually lost my train of thought on that.
Well, I'd asked specifically about digital. I was wondering if you can apply that vision of the future of the industry to digital in conjunction with the kind of changes that are going on. Can you assess where you see digital 5 years from now, what you think the company will be doing?
Well, I think our latest restructuring is a reflection of where we think the industry is going forward. And the focus of our new structure, obviously, is a business-oriented structure, but also it's focused by solution and industry. And I believe that we can play a major role, if not the major role, in providing the solutions that are required for our industry segments to make their particular industry segments more competitive on a global basis. We're in a global race with the rest of the world. We are a global company, and we are in a position to provide global solutions on a global basis that will address the needs of the industry segments. I think we're very, very well positioned to do that. We feel our base technology developed by Alpha will become pervasive. That's the direction that we want to drive it. One of the best kept secrets in this industry, and somebody mentioned at the beginning of teleconferences, is that the leadership role we have set in standards and in developing standards for the industry. That is maybe one of the best kept secret in this industry. We have always been standard-oriented. And if you look at our track record, we have developed some of the finest standards in the industry, and we intend to do that with Alpha.
And you see yourself continuing to compete on a variety of products and services, not as broad as a few years ago, but still what you define as your core competencies are more than one or two things. It's still going to be as a global company with a number of different solutions, a number of different products.
We feel the the segments of services and the product segments that we're focused in on at this point in time are the right ones. What we have done is, which was mentioned earlier, we have our focus has been on basically eliminating the redundancies and the overlaps within our areas of focus. But we feel the areas of products and services we're focused in at this point in time are the right ones. Now, going forward, that mix is going to change, and it'll change both in the product segment and in the service segment. But that's progress. If you're not changing in the product segment and the service segment, then you're not maybe dealing with the new developments that are happening in the industry from the standpoint of the need of information systems and services. Because as I mentioned, going forward, a good portion of the growth of the industry is going to be focused on categories of people and categories of usages that we cannot even conceive at this point in time. So there is going to be change.